This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
No government shutdown. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, December 16, welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Congressional leaders have struck a deal on taxes and spending. Plus, what ultimately happened in the tug of war over Planned Parenthood funding? Details in about 10 minutes.
Schools in Los Angeles are open today after a one-day shutdown because of an email threat. Why didn't New York City schools close over a similar threat?
The Republican presidential candidates debated foreign policy last night, and frontrunner Donald Trump made a significant announcement.
And what to expect if the Fed announces an interest rate hike following today's meeting?
I think they would reflect what the Fed has done and what the Fed is likely to do, which is raise rates slowly over the next 2 or 3 years. Historically, the Fed would raise rates at each six-week interval by a quarter point or a half a point.
University of Maryland business professor and economist Peter Morici joins us in about 20 minutes. In the latest Republican presidential debate, the candidates laid out positions on how to protect the country from a future terrorist attack and what role the U.S. should play on an unsettled world stage. Businessman Donald Trump was asked about how he would treat the families of terror suspects.
I would be very, very firm with families. And frankly, that will make people think, because they may not care much about their lives, but they do care, believe it or not, about their families' lives.
The Las Vegas debate, hosted by CNN, showed gaps between the top candidates over how far to go in monitoring our phone data, whether to deploy more troops to the Middle East, and the merits of regime change. Retired surgeon Dr. Ben Carson addressed a proposed strategy of monitoring mosques and schools.
We need to make sure that any place, I don't care whether it's a mosque, a school, a supermarket, you know, a theater, it doesn't matter. If there are a lot of people getting there, engaging in radicalizing activities, then we need to be suspicious of it.
Also, we saw more of the feud between Senators Ted Cruz of Texas and Marco Rubio of Florida over data collection, immigration, and whether to push for the removal of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Meanwhile, frontrunner Donald Trump vowed not to run as an independent if he doesn't win the Republican presidential nomination. The next Democratic debate, by the way, is Saturday. Schools in Los Angeles will reopen today after being closed yesterday for a threat against students via email that turned out not to be credible. On the same day, officials in New York said they received a similar message but concluded it was a hoax. Schools there remained open. The rare and sudden closure of the L.A. Unified School District, second largest in America with more than 640,000 students, came during exam week. For many students, Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck says the email was sent to a number of people on the school board.
After reviewing that threat, we became very concerned, contacted the FBI, and began to work jointly through our Joint Terrorism Task Force to try to vet that threat.
The shutdown underscored the difficulties officials face in responding to threats amid fresh fears of terrorism. Chief Beck said the implied threat was of an attack with, quote, assault rifles and machine pistols, as well as explosive devices. Well, what exactly is behind a decision like the one to shut down a massive school system like Los Angeles over a threat? We're joined now live by security expert Paul Violas, host of the TV show The Security Brief. He's also CEO of Violas Group International. Paul, good morning. What was your reaction to yesterday's decision in L.A.?
Good morning. Good morning, Bill. Gordon, I've got to tell you, the one thing that I think we haven't really picked up on yet, and it's been sprinkled in some of the news reports, and I truly believe was the catalyst for L.A. to shut down the schools, was the mention of potential nerve gas. And the reason I say that is because for some time now, the one issue that has really been keeping people up at night, law enforcement specifically, is the potential for groups like ISIS and al-Shabaab to use a biological agent here on American soil. And I think the fact that that was mentioned was enough to make them really think it was credible.
How difficult the decision is that, by the way, for L.A. school officials?
Well, you got to figure, I mean, Gordon, from a business standpoint, you know, they're going to lose a significant, they could lose a significant amount of money by shutting down. So there's a business decision. There's obviously a security decision. That's a monumentous call on their part. When you also look at, you know, New York was faced with the same exact thing and decided that it wasn't credible.
So explain how the two cities, right, the two largest school districts in America could arrive at different decisions on seemingly the very similar email threat.
You know, it's a quarterback. At the end of the day, Gordon, from a security perspective, it's the one person that's going to look at it and say, I have enough information to determine that it is, and I have enough information to determine that it isn't. When you take a look at the analysis that's done from a national security perspective, from a behavioral side, and how they break down the language in which that the document was written, that's really the centerpiece of the core of that decision-making. Now, from what I've heard, I haven't seen the document. From what I've heard, it blatantly spelled to not being a legitimate threat. So, it's difficult. I don't want to, shoot the guys down for shutting it down, but at the end of the day, there are very strict parameters as to how to evaluate a credible threat. And apparently, they just weren't there.
Yeah. I think I did hear one analyst or perhaps school official or law enforcement official say the word Allah was used in the email, but it was not capitalized. And somebody said that's just a telltale sign that this was not from some sort of a credible terrorist.
Correct. I mean, that's a blatant red flag. But also, there are messages that are underscored, and they're omnipresent in documents like that. And we know that to be true. And apparently that just wasn't there.
Yeah. We're joined live this morning by security expert Paul Violas, host of the TV show The Security Brief. He's also CEO of Violas Group International. So what about the potential for copycats now?
I think it's significant, Gordon. And, and you're right on point. That really is the biggest question. If we take a look at the disruption level, from a business standpoint, let's say you're a lone wolf, you're a small cell, or you're somebody that just wants to disrupt some type of operation, clearly we know how that can be done and how people are going to react to it. I still think that, from the grand scheme here, from a copycat perspective, we have to embrace the fact that, Islamic terrorists have announced two months ago, think global, act local. So authorities know this, and I think the probability of us seeing a copycat, as certainly as we start getting into the holidays, is pretty high.
What's the thinking behind announcing a threat via email, right? If you were going to do something that involved mass destruction or death, why tip it off?
Well, that's a great point. If you look back, history is nothing more than a cause-event-result cycle, right? It constantly repeats itself. If you look at the IRA, for example, many, many years ago, I'm dating myself, but before they would actually deploy some type of explosive device, they would send a message to say, at 12 o'clock, the bomb's going to go off here. And the reason they did that, they were legitimate. They wanted to prove a point. They didn't necessarily want to see a lot of mass destruction. They wanted to prove a point that they could. So telegraphing something really is, from a tactical standpoint, it's a message saying, I can do whatever I want to do. Mm. This is when I'm going to do it. I don't necessarily want to see mass destruction, but that's not consistent with the ideology of Islamic terrorists, because they're not going to telegraph it.
Right, right. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, as always, Paul. Appreciate it. Paul Violas, security expert, also host of the TV show The Security Brief and CEO of Violas Group International. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When you run a small business, even the smallest decisions are stressful. What color should the logo be? Black, purple, blue? Which blue? Sky, deep, seafoam, aquamarine? But there's one decision that's easy. The decision to make your business better by switching to Vonage's award-winning cloud-based communication service. with seamless mobility between your devices so your employees can connect with your customers while on the go. With state-of-the-art tools like Virtual Receptionist, so every call is routed with pinpoint precision. And all for much less than you think. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com to make the switch now. It's no wonder so many small and large business owners are switching to Vonage. So don't just switch to any cloud. Switch to Vonage's award-winning cloud service. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or sign up at Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Thanks for being with us. Good Wednesday to you. Busy night for congressional leaders that creeped into the wee hours of this morning. At around 1:30 a.m. Eastern time today, they announced a massive deal on spending and tax legislation that would avoid a government shutdown and make major changes to energy policy. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
As part of their work session, lawmakers reached a deal on legislation that would revive and extend dozens of lapsed and expiring tax breaks. The agreement would make permanent certain tax breaks and is expected to suspend a tax on medical devices for 2 years. And as part of the year-end legislative push, how about this? Lawmakers agreed to lift the ban on U.S. oil exports, a ban that's been in place for 40 years. In one major concession to Democrats, the spending bill won't cut off federal funding to Planned Parenthood. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 19 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Republican presidential candidates Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio have been sparring from afar for weeks, and they brought that clash to the GOP debate last night in Las Vegas. Rubio accused Cruz of weakening the government's ability to track terrorists because he voted in favor of legislation to eliminate the NSA's bulk phone records collection program and replace it with more restrictive rules. Cruz says his vote helped reform how we target bad guys by allowing the government to search more phone numbers. The police chief in Los Angeles says the threat that prompted yesterday's shutdown of the city's schools described an attack with assault rifles. Chief Charles Beck says the threat was specific to all campuses in the district. But New York City, which received the same emailed threat, didn't close schools. Police Commissioner William Bratton says the threat was not credible. L.A. schools will reopen in the morning. A powerful storm dumped up to 24 inches of snow in the Colorado mountains yesterday before barreling onto the plains, prompting airlines to cancel about 500 flights at the Denver airport. The snow is now moving through Nebraska and heading toward Minnesota. Lamar Odom's bizarre downfall from a former Los Angeles Lakers star to a lost soul in a Nevada brothel has the world searching Google for answers more than any other topic this year. Other top Google searches in 2015 include Ronda Rousey, Jurassic World, and Adele. And no, he doesn't have Parkinson's. It's probably just KGB weapons training. A neurology professor from the Netherlands has been studying Russian President Vladimir Putin's funny walk. He holds his right arm rigid while his left swings freely and concluded that it's from KGB training. The KGB taught operatives to keep their right hand close to the chest while walking, which allows them to draw a gun when faced with an enemy.
I got a pretty good idea that that's done on purpose, too.
To scare people off?
Yeah. It's just that kind of bold image he always tries to project, right?
That's right.
Shirtless and riding the horse and all that other stuff, right? Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office, the traffic, then the parking. Plus, it'll be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages. So you should use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassles of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. Then print postage for any letter or package the instant you need it. Then the mailman picks it up. It's easy and convenient. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Then before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. That's stamps.com. Enter the code Deal. Thanks for being with us. The Fed makes its decision at the conclusion of a meeting today about whether to raise interest rates. Most analysts believe the time has come for the Fed to make its long anticipated move. What's ahead if rates finally inch north? Here's University of Maryland business professor and economist Peter Morici. Peter, how do you see things like mortgage rates being affected?
Well, I don't think that a lot's going to happen to mortgage rates, what we call the long end of the yield curve, long borrowing rates, because any time those goes up in the last two decades, foreign money comes in. And with conditions being what they are in China and Europe, if rates go up on the long end of the curve on 20-year treasuries or 30-year mortgages, foreign money's going to come in to push it back down. On the short end, that's very different. I expect consumer loans like car loans or home improvement loans, that those will become more expensive. The banks, as always, whenever their costs go up, will try to raise our fees. Whether they'll be successful or not remains to be seen. Also, the loans on the short end, like credit card, getting a new credit card or getting a car loan, could become more difficult. That is, lending standards could rise as well as rates going up.
Mm. All right, so if rates go up, say, as you mentioned, with bank fees or car loans, they wouldn't go up exorbitantly, I guess, right? They would sort of match or reflect what the Fed has done?
I think they would reflect what the Fed has done and what the Fed is likely to do, which is raise rates slowly over the next 2 or 3 years. Historically, the Fed would raise rates at each six-week interval by a quarter point or a half a point. This time, I expect it's going to be maybe a quarter point every other meeting, so that the Fed meets eight times a year. So the rate would gradually go up to maybe 1.25% or so by the end of 2016 and to 2.5% by the end of 2017. Historically, the federal funds rate has been much higher. I don't expect this, for example, to be terribly damaging to stocks because a lot of that's already built in. There may be a little flutter the first day and the second day, but that's already built in. And the stock market's done well with considerably higher interest rates and done poorly with considerably low interest rates. So I think that we're okay there.
Yeah. We're speaking with University of Maryland business professor and economist Peter Morici. We're talking about things to expect when the Fed raises rates. Would this be good, say, for retirees or seniors on a fixed income?
Well, hopefully seniors will start to see a little bit higher rates being offered on certificates of deposit, especially on the shorter end of the yield curve, 5-7 years, than they are now. Right now, those rates are very, very low. The basic problem there is that the banks have consolidated so much since the financial crisis that there's much less competition. You know, one of the things we noticed in big regional cities, you know, when I say that, a place like Cleveland or Chicago as opposed to New York and San Francisco, the money centers, is that when the big banks come in and buy up the small banks, all of a sudden CD rates started to fall because there was a lack of competition. Hopefully there will have enough competition left that those rates will rise.
How about on the job creation front? Will that affect things one way or the other?
I don't think it's going to affect things much at all. I think that we've gotten what we can out of low interest rates, and raising them a quarter point every other meeting isn't going to make much of a difference.
University of Maryland business professor and economist Peter Morici. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We'd love to welcome a new sponsor to the show, All and Sundry, a modern men's shoe company with an old-world vision. My friend Nick and his team make the finest handcrafted custom shoes, shoes your grandfather would be proud of. All and Sundry creates a unique experience where you select your style of shoe, whether for work or play. Then you choose the material, add custom features like eye stays, then select a color. They source all the materials and build each one by hand. Without a middleman, you get the savings. No more outrageous markups. If you're a shoe guy, All and Sundry is for you. If you're not, you might change your mind after seeing All and Sundry. Right now, get a 10% discount on a gift card for the holidays. Visit allandsundry.com and enter the promo code DEAL at checkout. That's AWL and sundry.com. Then enter DEAL at checkout. All and Sundry, stylish and modern shoes with craftsmanship a grandfather would be proud of. Again, allandsundry.com and enter code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter @ThisMorningShow. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you're with us on this Wednesday, December 16. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Kishenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. L.A. schools reopened today after closing for a threat. Republican presidential candidates debate again. We'll have analysis in just a moment. Planned Parenthood will get funding as part of an agreement on Capitol Hill on a tax and spending measure. The Fed may boost interest rates today. American soccer great Abby Wambach plays her final game for her country tonight. Bo Ryan now announces his immediate retirement as Wisconsin hoops coach. And the college kids who end a week-long effort of singing Christmas carols on demand on the telephone. That story in about 20 minutes. Were there notable winners and losers in last night's presidential debate? The fifth one. It was hosted by CNN from Las Vegas. Analysis now from Matt Makowiak, Republican consultant and president of Potomac Strategy Group, LLC. He's with us live this morning. Morning, Matt. What was your takeaway from last night's debate?
Yeah, good morning. You know, I thought that you could just tell that the class of the field is Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. You know, they both had, I think, more time than almost anyone else. They were able to both handle incoming fire, but also give off, you know, good attack lines. And honestly, the most interesting parts of the debate were the disagreements that they had. Cruz making Rubio play defense on immigration, Rubio making Cruz play defense on NSA surveillance. You know, I think Trump, didn't offer a lot of substance again last night. He was a little bit better sort of behaved and a little bit calmer than usual.
Yeah.
So, you know, he comes out of this probably, you know, about as strong as he was going in. So from his perspective, there certainly wasn't a disaster. But to me, I think it's Cruz and Rubio that are going to get most of the attention coming out of this debate. Christie had a very good night. He's really confident and strong at times. And I think he has a chance to maybe win New Hampshire or be a very strong contender in New Hampshire. But to me, it's Cruz and Rubio that are kind of in a class by themselves.
I'm looking forward to Chris Christie gaining the trust of King Hussein of Jordan, who's dead.
Yeah.
Who's dead now?
Funny,
I know he meant.
I know he meant
King Abdullah. But does that hurt him in any way?
I don't know. You know, he and Abdullah are actually friendly, and there was actually some reporting at the time of Abdullah paying for a family vacation that his family took in Jordan. So this is not an area where he doesn't know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
And he's actually been pretty strong on foreign policy and national security, which is not always the case with governors. So
true, yeah.
I think if it was playing into an existing narrative about him that he wasn't ready to handle those issues, it would be a problem. But in this case, I don't think it will be.
All right. So I noticed, too, is everything seemingly nicey-nicey again between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz? I think Trump arm-slapped him or back-slapped him once or twice and kind of laughed while doing it. They seem real chummy.
A little bit, yeah. You know, Trump had, you know, they set it up so that the candidates, you know, would kind of go after each other, and it happened on a couple instances. You know, Jeb went after Trump a bit, Rand went after Rubio a bit. I mean, there were different sort of, you know, exchanges like that. But yeah, Trump really chose, again, not to attack Cruz. You know, he attacked him, I think, on Friday in taping a couple TV interviews and at one event. But since then, he hasn't done that anymore. And he did get some criticism from talk radio and after going after Cruz, so I think that may have played a role.
Yeah. We're speaking live this morning with Matt Makowiak, Republican consultant and president of Potomac Strategy Group, LLC. We're recapping last night's Republican presidential debate. What happened to Ben Carson, by the way, his fall lately? What's his deal?
Man, I really think he had a bad night last night. I just don't know that people, as they learn more about him, see him as a president of the United States. He's a very nice man. He's clearly intelligent. He's very unusual because he's humble and soft-spoken and thoughtful. But he's not, I don't think he's growing. And when his moment came about, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks ago as a first-year candidate, I think he was leading in Iowa in one or two polls, he didn't convince people that he could be president of the United States. And he did take a trip to the Middle East. I think he's going again maybe this week. But I just think at the end of the day, people are not sure he can handle the national security and foreign policy responsibilities that we would expect of our presidents.
All right. And Jeb Bush, is there still life in this campaign? Can he still do something, make some noise?
Yeah, I think there's a pulse. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be the nominee. He's not in a great place, but he did have his best performance last night. He's much more confident. I think he won some exchanges with Trump. And he was pretty smooth. His opening statement and closing statement were a little awkward, but everything else I thought was the best it's been. The path for Jeb is to win or finish a very, very strong second in New Hampshire and get that second look that New Hampshire gives. He still has $70 million or more in his super PAC. You know, he's still a two-term governor of a swing state like Florida. But it is tough. But for Jeb, it begins and ends in New Hampshire. He's going to really have to do well there.
Very good. Hey, Matt, thanks for a few minutes. Good talking to you. Matt Mikowiak, Republican consultant, also president of a group called Potomac Strategy Group, LLC. 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you miss a day, by the way, don't forget you can hear podcasts of the program on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, also on apps like TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Thanks for being with us. By the way, if you like small business or entrepreneurial stories, you can check out The Small Business Report, done twice weekly and available on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com or on places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, before the heavy talk could begin from our presidential candidates last night about how to defeat terrorism at home and abroad, there was one moment that had the internet buzzing that had nothing to do with ISIS or even Donald Trump. Who the heck was the one who coughed? A loud cough was heard on microphone at the beginning of the debate, setting Twitter into a mild frenzy. Celebrities even got into the act, with Rob Lowe tweeting, "Has no one at CNN production heard of a cough button? Good Lord, sounds like someone's dying up there." Later, footage from the debate revealed that the mystery cougher was Ben Carson, prompting some to wonder why the doctor couldn't have taken a lozenger, found another way to keep his own cough in check. It was later confirmed by Carson's campaign manager that the doctor was indeed working through a nagging cough that was hanging on, even though he hasn't been sick for weeks.
Uh-huh. So you gotta have the campaign manager confirm.
Yes.
It was my guy who coughed, yes,
right,
unfortunately.
Well, apparently he said the campaign manager said that pretty much everyone in their campaign had coughed, because they're all in such close quarters to each other, spending a lot of time in hotel rooms and whatever, and they all caught this about a month ago.
I see.
But Ben Carson, apparently one of those people, and my wife is one of those people as well, that once they get a cough, it's there for weeks and weeks and weeks on end.
Who was talking when this was happening? Do you know? Maybe it was a deliberate cough, like over Trump or somebody.
Yeah,
so an opening statement, I guess.
Yeah,
I missed
that part. We'll have to go back to the videotape. And if, like me, you're looking forward to seeing the new Star Wars movie but are likely too busy to see it on opening weekend, here's something for you. There's a new Google Chrome extension that promises to allow you to browse the web without fear of seeing any Star Wars spoilers. As first reported by Engadget, the Force Block, when installed, will immediately block the content of any page with too many references to Star Wars. So instead of seeing a spoiler-filled screen, you'll see a black background with a warning telling you that the site might contain hints about The Force Awakens. You then have the option of either continuing on into a possible spoiler zone or avoiding the page altogether.
I see. So you and I would use that for different reasons.
I was thinking the exact same thing, Gordon.
You, because you don't want to encounter anything that would spoil the movie.
Uh-huh.
Me, because I have absolutely zero interest in Star Wars The Force Awakens.
See, this is an extension for everyone.
Right. So how do these things work? So you how do you use an extension?
Yeah, you basically download it from the Google store. Like, Google has like an app, an extension. So you download it. It goes right into your browser at the top there. It's like a little button at the top of your Google Chrome browser. And, you know, when it's on, like I said, a black screen will come up and it'll say something like, "The spoilers are strong with this page," or something along those lines. And
very
then
good.
you just go to someplace else.
All right. Note to self. Get the Force Block from Google Chrome. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Most of you listening to this podcast are lifelong learners interested in gaining knowledge for your own personal enrichment. That's the motivation behind The Great Courses, engaging video and audio lectures presented by top professors on a wide variety of subjects. The Great Courses has a collection of lecture series geared towards professionals, including Scientific Secrets for a Powerful Memory, How Conversation Works, Art of Public Speaking, and Influence, Mastering Life's Most Powerful Skill. These lecture series offer valuable tools and insights for anyone looking to strengthen their presentation skills, become a better negotiator, or sharpen their memory. The Great Courses are available in DVDs, CDs, streaming, digital downloads, or with the Great Courses apps. For a limited time, The Great Courses has a special offer for This Morning listeners. Order any of these four business and presentation courses for just $9.95. The special price of $9.95 is only available for a limited time. Order today. Go to thegreatcourses.com/deal. That's thegreatcourses.com/deal. Good Wednesday to you. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, after weeks of back-and-forth negotiations, congressional Republicans and Democrats have finally struck a deal on a $1.1 trillion spending bill, legislation that would avert a government shutdown and fund the government through October. A major tax extender package to renew dozens of expiring tax breaks was also agreed upon, with some tax breaks lasting just 2 years, while others will be permanent. In a presidential race reshaped by national security concerns, Republican frontrunner Donald Trump defended his call for banning Muslims from the U.S. as the candidates debated their plans for fighting Islamic State militants and keeping the country secure. Jeb Bush found his footing in trying to discredit Trump's qualifications for the White House, chiding the billionaire for trying to insult his way to the presidency. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton further detailed her plan to defeat ISIS and specifically spoke to the threat of homegrown radicalization in a city that has been on the front lines, Minneapolis, while also warning that Islamophobia is not just offensive but harmful to U.S. national security.
While we know the overwhelming majority of people here and around the world hate ISIS and love peace, we do have to be prepared for more terrorists plotting attacks.
Clinton also blasted Donald Trump's proposal to ban Muslim immigration. After announcing a deadlock 9 hours into deliberations, a Baltimore jury will get back to work today in the trial of William Porter, one of six police officers charged in the death of Freddie Gray in April. After the jury told the judge yesterday afternoon it couldn't reach an agreement, the judge told them to keep working. Freddie Gray died in police custody after sustaining a severe spine injury in the back of a police van. Although the nation's high school graduation rate is inching higher, there are still wide differences depending on where students live. According to new federal data, Iowa and Nebraska have the top high school graduation rates. New Jersey and Wisconsin are tied for third, followed by New Hampshire and Texas. And another reason to be kind. A new study by Yale and UCLA researchers suggests that while performing small, kind gestures every day helps others, it may also diffuse our own stress and improve our mental health. People in the study who opened doors for someone, loaned money, or asked another person if they needed help had lower reactions to daily stress.
I believe in that. Very good. Good way to spread kindness, too. There's a lot of benefits there.
Yep.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. University of Illinois is wrapping up its 56th year of its annual hotline providing Christmas carols for anyone in need. For the past week, students manned phones at Snyder Hall as part of the annual Dial a Carol program. How does it work? The university's housing website reads, "The idea behind the program is quite simple. Anyone from anywhere can call us and request a holiday tune to be sung over the telephone. Our program runs 24 hours a day for 7 days and is held each year during finals week of the first semester."
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose like a light bulb.
UPI says the program began tallying the number of calls on Facebook, reaching over 11,000 calls as of yesterday, surpassing the previous record of 6,800. Students are available purely on a volunteer basis, and they study to sing carols from callers all across the world. You heard Rudolph there. They sing Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. The week-long program ends tonight at midnight. 217-332-1882. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Did you know that more and more businesses are switching to Vonage? Seems like they know something you don't know. Like how they can unify all their offices nationwide on their own private connection to the cloud. Or maybe they know they're saving tons of headaches by eliminating unwieldy PBX phone systems. Or that Vonage's award-winning cloud-based mobility solutions allow their employees to communicate from any device, including their desk phone, desktop, laptop, mobile, or tablet, keeping them connected to customers while on the go. It's no wonder so many businesses are switching to Vonage. So what are you waiting for? Don't just switch to any cloud. Switch to Vonage's award-winning cloud service. Make the switch to better. call 1-800-5-VONAGE or visit Vonage.com and find out all you need to know about why so many businesses are switching. That's 1-800-5-VONAGE or Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.